Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from our gospel, words from Luke 2. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. One of the reasons why Christmas may be so meaningful for many people is that it's easy to find Jesus. We know exactly where to find him. The Savior is in the manger or on Mary's lap sleeping. But what about after Christmas? When the angels have returned to heaven, the shepherds have returned to their flocks, and the Holy Family has vacated the stable outside of Bethlehem. Then where is Jesus? Where can we find him? The days and even the weeks after Christmas can leave us somewhat down and even depressed. Has Jesus been put away in a box, stored in the attic to await next Christmas? So St. Luke today takes us from seeing Jesus in a stable to seeing Jesus in the temple. 40 days after the birth of the child, Mary and Joseph went to the temple with the baby Jesus, according to the law of the Lord. Here Mary and Joseph fulfill, for the second time, the law. Earlier, Jesus had been circumcised when he was 8 days old, foreshadowing his shedding of his blood on the cross. Mary and Joseph present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as Jewish families had done with their firstborn sons for generations. The temple, which followed the tabernacle in the history of Israel, was where God made known his presence. Back in the Old Testament, when Solomon built the first temple, when it was dedicated, it was filled with smoke, and that smoke indicated the very presence of the Lord. The temple is the location where God met man. This is where the God of Israel was to meet his people, Israel. But the temple was only the forerunner of Jesus, the Son of God, who came to this earth taking on flesh and blood that he might live among men. He came as Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the true and permanent temple. The evangelist St. John tells us, in Jesus' own words, when Jesus was asked by the Jews, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now the Jews who heard that automatically thought that Jesus was referring to the destruction of the temple there in Jerusalem. But Jesus was referring to the temple of his own body. Jesus is the temple of God. He is the true and lasting temple. And here, his mother and father bring him to the temporary temple, the one in Jerusalem made out of stone. Jesus, the true temple, must be in his Father's house. Mary and Joseph, in bringing Jesus to the temple, are fulfilling the law of the Lord and are at the same time bringing him to his true home. And they made sacrifice as the law prescribed. But they were not able to afford a lamb. But no lamb was necessary, because even at 40 days old, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin for all mankind. So here at the temple was Simeon. Simeon knew where to find the Christ. It was revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and the Spirit reveals to him the promise of seeing the Messiah and leads him to the temple. Luke tells us that Simeon was a righteous man. It doesn't seem that he is some kind of dignitary or held some high office in the Sanhedrin, but his standing before God was one of faith. And in that faith, he was watching and waiting for the Messiah. And the Spirit led him to the temple. He knew where to find the Christ. He takes the bearer of salvation into his arms and speaks the words that we know as the Nunc Dimittis, which is a Latin phrase that means, "Now let us depart." A more literal translation would be, "Now set free your servant, according to your word in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and glory for your people, Israel." Through these beautiful words of Simeon, the Holy Spirit declares Jesus to be the means of salvation for all people, Jew and Gentile. The little one in his arms will set repentant sinners free, free from their captivity to sin, death, and the power of Satan. Simeon recognizes this salvation that he holds in his arms. And he himself recognizes that he has been set free to depart in peace according to the Lord's word. Simeon recognizes that he has been set free through the presence of the Lord's Christ. And that peace that the angels proclaimed at the birth of Christ now comes to rest on Simeon. His eyes are open to the salvation that he holds there, even though it is a Savior who is still cloaked in those infant clothes, only 40 days old. But just the same, Simeon sees the salvation that he holds in his hands. And that seeing is not just a physical seeing, but it's also a seeing with understanding. Understanding the work of God sending a Savior in the flesh. It's interesting to note as we reflect on the gospel accounts, and we have all sorts of incidents where Jesus' own disciples, although they were had perfect vision, could not really see Jesus with that understanding. And that understanding came to them after the resurrection, as the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were able to see with understanding all that Jesus said and did. So Simeon has been anticipating. He has been watching and waiting for that rising star of the house of Jacob. And now it has arrived. And so Simeon announces its coming. The waiting is over. The prophecies are being fulfilled. The light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of the people of Israel has arrived in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Simeon knew where to find the Savior. And Anna, too, she knew where to look. Anna, this prophetess and widow, spent years and years in the temple praying. And now her watching and waiting is over. She too is expecting the Lord's Christ, hearing the words of Simeon and seeing the infant Son of God. She began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Not only did she know where to find redemption in the temple, but she also spoke of that redemption to all others who were also waiting. So where do we go to find Jesus? Like Simeon and Anna, we find him in the salvation that he brings in the temple. We find him in the temple of God as we gather here in this place where he has promised to be. Here God meets us in word and sacrament where he has promised to be. In the means of grace, we find the permanent temple, the Lord's Christ. He is present in his word spoken by the pastor. He is present in your homes as you read scripture. Martin Luther wrote, "The temple is the habitation of God. Hence, it signifies all places where God is present." The word of Scripture, Old and New Testaments, points us to the Christ, who is our consolation and the one to redeem us through his suffering, death, and resurrection. We find Christ in those wonderful words of absolution spoken by the pastor. "As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." These words of consolation are given to the pastor to speak to people who are broken by sin. And Christ himself is present in those words. We find Christ in the Lord's Supper. Here is the Savior in the most visible and concrete and yet most intimate way. He is given to us in the bread and the wine, his true body and blood. In this special meal, he becomes incarnate for us, given to us to eat and to drink, where his body and blood becomes actual part of us. It's no coincidence that after this sacred meeting with Christ in the sacrament that we sing Simeon's song, for we have actually seen, like Simeon, but in a different way, we have seen the very body and blood of Christ, and we have received his peace. And in that peace, we are prepared to depart into our lives, into our vocations. And in a different context, these words are now found in our hymnals in the funeral service. And you think about it, how appropriate that is for us. A fellow believer who, having seen the Lord's Christ throughout the years, has, and in those years, been present in the temple, in the presence of God, in the presence of word and sacrament, having seen and received Christ, and now is finished his course of faith and has departed from this life. How appropriate those words are at that point. Those words of Simeon become a testament, of a testimony of that person's faith, and it also becomes a very comfort for those who are gathered in the sanctuary at that occasion. In Christ, we have been set free, just like Simeon. We have been set free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. This comes at great cost. It comes at the expense of the very blood of Christ shed on the cross for each one of us. This setting free is revealed to each of us as the Spirit works in our hearts, in our lives, so that we see our salvation. It will not be long, I imagine, for many of you to be putting away the Christmas decorations. All those decorations will be boxed, put in the attic, put into storage. But because they are not there, should not lead us to be confused about where to look for God's grace and his mercy. God is with us, Emmanuel, God incarnate, in his means of grace. He is here where he has promised to be, where that word of forgiveness is proclaimed, where the sacraments are offered. Here the true permanent temple brings the light of salvation to each one of us. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.